This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
It is indeed a blessing to be back with my peoples again. Now, I made that word up, y'all. Y'all got to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I made CIU my family, y'all, so y'all can't get rid of me. I'm telling you right now. I'm part of this clan. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your many, many blessings. You're a great and awesome God to allow us to come into this holy place and embrace your power. Lord, you're going to have to do it. I just want to be an instrument in your hands. I don't profess to know anything, but you know everything. Will you speak to our hearts today? That at the end of the day, you will say amen. Thank you so much for this awesome privilege you've given me today. We love you, we adore you, we magnify, glorify your name because you're worthy to be praised. Amen, in Jesus' name. To Dr. Jones and to all of our deans, all of our faculty, our board, and to the entire student body, here again, I'm glad to be here. Matter of fact, at 62, I'm glad to be anywhere. Amen. 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 I do have a word, and I'm going to be out of your way, amen, because we got meetings, y'all. We got meetings. Amen. 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 I want to talk today from the subject, the defining moments with God. And if I will use a subtopic, I will use the true definition to life is Christ. And I want to raise some questions with us as I ponder this text, as I ponder this subject matter. Amen. And I'm going to use a number of scriptures and I'll be out of your way. I want to raise some questions with us. Who are you? What are you made out of? Who defines you? Where are you? How did you become the person you are? Do you really know who you are? The world has signed its signature on your life. Are you operating on the world definition of who you are? Who are you? We must allow Christ to be the defining moments of our lives and not anyone else. Everyone else will define us, and when that happens, everyone else controls our lives. But we must allow God through Jesus Christ to be the defining moments of our lives. Otherwise, we're operating on a superficial definition. But when God defines us, God brings security in our lives. God bring peace into our lives. God brings confidence in our lives. When God defines us, we have the true definition. So there are five questions I want to raise with us today, and I'll be out of your way. The first question is the identity question. Who am I? Amen. We must let God define who we are. Exodus 33 and 13, I like that text, amen. Y'all remember Moses? Now I must tell y'all quickly, I like to put my life in the key of be natural, amen. I'm not trying to impress you. Please don't try to impress me, amen. I'm here to do what the Lord requires me to do. I'm going to preach this text today, amen. Watch this. Exodus 33 and 13, Moses is getting ready to take the children of Israel to Canaan. And Moses says to God, who's going with me? Because I want to know who's going with me, because these people are your people. And he raised a statement. He said, now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your ways that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider this nation is your people. Now I know we got many theologians in this room and we can talk about this later, but watch this. Moses said to God, show me your ways that I may know you, And if you show me your ways that I may know you, I come to define who I am. And as I come to define who I am in knowing who you are, I can lead these people to come to know who they are in you. We must allow God to make that decision in our lives. But we got to spend time with him in order to understand that definition. We can't go by, you know, because many times in our lives, we got them drive-by moments with God. Amen. But when you spend time with God, God have no problem unfolding who he is in our lives. When God reduced that definition, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. We have confidence in ourselves that God is defining the moment of our lives. Now, do y'all remember them prodigal boys? I got issues with them. That young boy, amen, this dude had the nerve to go to his daddy and ask his daddy to give him his inheritance. Now, if biblical history is true, if the daddy going to divide any inheritance, the older boy must receive it first. Oh, you theologian, am I on target here? Amen. Just say amen. Watch this. The older boy as well as the younger boy got some issues. Because what I see here is they wanted what the daddy had, but did not want the daddy. Watch this. We always asking God for one thing after another. Because we want what God has, but do we really want the daddy who have everything that we need? When we seek after him, he give us everything we need, and that is the defining moment of our lives. We must allow him to bring forth that definition in our lives. The second question is the inventory question. Amen. The inventory question is in Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. In other words, God, we must allow God, when God come into our lives and bring that definition in our lives, we open ourselves up to God to examine our hearts. Oh, sookie. When God go to doing surgery on our hearts, God reveals some things in our hearts that is not acceptable. Oh, watch this. I remember when I took my first clinical pastoral education class. I had no clue what a chaplain was all about. They told me I'm the chaplain in the hospital. Amen. And my supervisor was an Anglo brother. Amen. Now stick a pin in that for a minute. Amen. This brother says to me, I want you to write verbatims. He says, whatever you say to the patient, I want you to write it down. Whatever the patient says to you, I want you to write it down. Well, I goes into the hospital, you know, I'm a chaplain. Amen. That's what he told me. So I'm taking on my job pretty serious. Amen. So I goes into the hospital room, walks in the patient's room. I get to having a dialogue with the patients. I'm more concerned about what the patient is saying. So I got a good memory. So I'm memorizing what this person's saying, because soon as I leave her room, I got to write down what she said to me and what I said to the patient. Well, I did that for 2 days. Amen. So I'm ready for my supervisor. I get before this guy. Amen. And I'm thinking, amen, the patient is sick, not me. Amen. So I'm assuming that he's examining what the patient is saying to me, because we need to come up with a solution. How can we help this patient? And so into the dialogue, all of a sudden, this guy began to name things about me. I said, hold on. Wait a minute. How did you get here? And he began naming things, and I got angry. Because first thing I said, and watch this, I told y'all now I'm not politically correct, amen. I flunked that class, amen. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even take my tuitions. Watch this. So this guy started naming these things. I'm angry, and I'm saying to myself, he is a white man. He don't know me. Matter of fact, he don't even live in my hood. He don't have a clue of my hood. And he started naming those things, and I came to the conclusion, I'm not going back to the class no more. So I go home and see, oh, Jesus. I go home, try to play it off. Walks through the door, my wife says, how was your day? Oh, I had a great day, wonderful day. Now, you've been married to a woman as long as I have. I've been with my wife when she was I met her when she was in the sixth grade. I was in the seventh grade. We've been married 41 years. Amen. Now watch this. I tried to play it off. Amen. Nothing wrong. Everything fine. She said, no, something wrong. I said, no. She said, oh, no. I look at your calendar and tell you there's something wrong. So she said, and then I said, well, under my breath, I said, I'm not going back to class no more. She said, what? I'm not going back to the class no more. She said, why? I said, I feel like I've been set up. She said, what do you mean? I said, the supervisor, I'm thinking he's examining the patient. When I know anything, he's examining me. She said, what did he say? I started naming those things. And my wife says, I thought y'all, Jesus, I thought this woman who had been with me all these years felt my pain and was going to agree with me. Don't go back. But she says, he's right. And watch this. For 3 days, I went into a place I'd never been before. God did surgery on my heart. God laid me bare before him. God began to expose the essence of my heart. And what God wanted to do was wanted me to agree with him that I'm all messed up. When we agree with God, as God examines our heart, as God defines us, God exposes what's going on, and we agree with God, God have mercy on us and give us what we need that we can be effective in ministry. Let God search your heart. Let God examine your heart. Let God see if there's any wicked way in your heart. And only God can cleanse whatever wicked way is in your heart. Let him examine you. There's another question, and I'm out of here. There's another question. It's the integrity question. Amen. The integrity question is, where are you morally? Are you morally sound? Let the Holy Spirit cleanse you morally. Psalm 26 and 1 says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my mind. Try my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I will walk in your truths. Vindicate me. In other words, cleanse me from all blame and suspiciousness. Am I morally pure before God? Am I making an attempt to God, to allow God to cleanse me morally? That God will hold up my integrity. Because our integrity is all we have, people. God is the one who keeps us pure. God is the one who vindicates us. God is the one who helps us be prepared for ministry. That when we stand before people, our integrity is always in place. So we must let God vindicate us. And therefore, when we trust in the Lord, the psalmist says, I shall not slip. When God vindicates us, he keeps us from slipping. He gives us a way to escape. But we got to want to escape. Because God has the power to examine our heart. He tries our mind. He tries our heart. And when God tries our mind and our heart, God put us on display that we may become effective in ministry. That people's lives in which we speak into, we leave a dying legacy in their lives, that even after every one of us in this room is gone, the legacy lives on. All because God vindicate us. God hold our integrity in his hands. Next question is the informed question. Amen. Psalm 119 and 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Verse 26 says, I have declared my ways and your answer. Teach me your statutes. In other words, who are informing you? Who is your informer? Who's your teacher? Who's your instructor? God want to pull himself in us. God ought to be the ultimate informer. God ought to be the one to give us the information that we need. God is the one who ought to be the great teacher. Bottom line is, we need to make sure that every day of our lives, we're enrolled in the class. That when the instructor comes into the class, he got the students there, that God can pour himself in our lives. That when God pours himself into our lives, we can answer this question. When is the last time you have come up with an original thought? Because bottom line is, when God pours in us, every one of us in this room are unique within ourselves, and God can give us original thoughts. Oh, I wish I had time. He's able to do that because he pours into our lives. But we got to take time for God to be the great teacher. If anybody you're going to brag on Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who keep pouring into our lives. Make reference to him because he's our great teacher. God produces our identification of who we are. God examines us. God vindicate us. God inform us. Why is God doing all of this? Why is God doing all of this for us? Why? Because God want to make us infectious. He's our identity. He inventory us, he examine us, he holds our integrity in place, he informs us that the end result is we become so infectious. Mark 12 and 29 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God takes the time. With the power that God has, he pours in us his love. We become so infectious. We become so contagious that no matter where God sent us, we impact the lives of people because we got a love in our heart that transcends every barrier that will hinder us from ministering to the world today. We must always have a biblical perspective when it comes to God, that everywhere we go, we want to make sure that we're so infectious that the love that God has given us will bring gravity to the hearts of people, and that gravity in the hearts of people will draw them to the kingdom of God. I'm closing on this note, but watch this. Oh, Jesus, watch this. We had 18 French-speaking people living in our home at one time. Couldn't speak no French. None. 18. And then the interpreter was not a good English interpreter. Sookie, sookie, amen. And so, those people said, we had one of the greatest times, didn't know the language. But the most powerful thing that Desi and I and my family exemplified before those people was the Jesus in us. that at the end of the journey with them, before they left, they was calling me Poppy and calling Desi Mummy. I got 18 French-speaking people in Paris, France right now. They are my children. What are you saying, James Dixon? When God has given us a love that's so infectious, God, through that love that he's given us, will tear down any barrier that will hinder us from going forth and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, because Christ is our Savior. In other words, we got to get the commandments straight. When we get the commandments straight, we can develop a great community. When we get a great community, we bring forth a great commonality. When we bring forth a great commonality, we can embrace the Great Commission. That's what it's all about. And it all happens through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It all happens through the definition of who we are in Christ. It all happens because Christ gives us the security in him that no matter where he sent us, we're never intimidated. We got the power to make a difference in the lives of people everywhere we go because we got Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, my Walker came to glory, my Midnight Rider died on the cross, but he did stay dead. But early one Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave and declared, all power is trusted in my hands. Yes! I missed it. I'm at a university, right? Yes! Yeah! Nobody but Jesus. Yes! He's the finding moment. Yes! He's all right. He's all right.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.